Morning, church.
Morning.
Well, I see a lot of people I haven't seen in a long time. Certainly glad to see you here. A lot of visitors. Welcome all of you this morning. So I bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask the presence of the Holy Spirit now if you open your word that we'll receive a blessing from reading these scriptures. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this is going to be a good Bible study. It's not going to be a sermon. In your meditation scripture, Proverbs 25:11, it says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Isn't that a beautiful thought? What's the opposite of fitly spoken? Unfitly spoken. So what's unfitly spoken words like? Probably a rotten apple. They're certainly not pictures of gold. In Proverbs 21:20, whosoever keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. In other words, this topic this morning or sermon is going to be a talk is going to be about how we use words. And we're going to take a lot of scripture concerning words that we're going to use. Now, in the American culture today, here are a few words that are seldom heard. Thank you. Please. Excuse me. I think these words are seldom heard in today's culture. I don't know if you hear them around your home or not. But I think it would be a good idea to start practicing them. Another thing that you have to remember, too, is sometimes it's better not to speak a word. Because, you know, an argument was never started until the second word is spoken. An argument was never started until the second word was spoken. Right now we're looking at Matthew chapter 12. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 12. Verses 36 and 37. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. I think that's almost plain enough. It's our words. If we speak the right words, if we truly believe in Jesus, what kind of words are we going to use? Pleasant words. All right, Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all to the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. In other words, everything we should do in the name of Jesus. If we remember Jesus in our words, our actions, this world is going to be a lot better place. In fact, our church may be a lot better place. If we remember, do everything in the name of glory of Jesus. And otherwise, if we don't follow Jesus' footsteps, who do we follow? Lucifer. Hebrews 13, verse 5. I'm going to read verse 5 and 6. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what men shall do unto me. Who's our helper? The Lord. You know, this text 13:5, when I had my prostate cancer and taking radiation treatments, I thought of that text every morning when I lay on that table up at the hospital. Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's a beautiful promise we all accept. Mark 9, verse 2. Mark 9, verse 2. It says, "And behold, they brought to him a man sick of palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven thee." Notice that statement. Jesus said, "Be of good cheer." Can we use that for a greeting to our people every morning? Be of good cheer. Mark 6 is almost practically the same thing. "And when they saw him walking upon the water, I suppose it had been a spirit, and he cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, Be of good cheer. Be not afraid." You know, Jesus greeted us, "Be of good cheer." How much better off we would be if we say, "Be of good cheer." And John 16, verse 33 is important. I may go too fast for you. I'm sorry. John 16, verse 33. John 16, verse 33. "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you should have peace. In the world you should have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So if Jesus overcome the world for our sake, can't we say, "Be of good cheer" in the morning? Be of good cheer, people. In England, they use the word cheerio. Morning, cheerio. You know, it's an expression. But be of good cheer. Cheerio. Be of good cheer. How do we greet people? A lot of people like to stack up their troubles and tell you all their troubles when they meet you. They mourn mournfully. And you know, I knew a lady one time, several years ago when I was teaching school, that if we was in a hurry, if we saw her coming down the street, we'd stop and go across the street and wouldn't want to meet her. Because once she met her, she always told her her troubles in about 2 hours' time and hold you up. But you know, we can't mourn. As a matter of fact, in the Ministry of Healing, this book was written by Ellen White, Ministry of Healing written by Ellen White. Statement said on page 254, "When people ask you how you are feeling, do not think of something mournful to tell in order to gain sympathy. Do not talk of your lack of faith and your sorrows and sufferings. The tempter delights to hear such words. When talking on gloomy subjects, you are glorifying him. We are not to dwell on the great power of Satan to overcome us. Often we give ourselves into his hand by talking of his power. Let us stand instead of the great power of God to bind up our interest with his own. Tell the matchless power of Christ and speak of his glory. All heaven is entered in our salvation. The angels of God, thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000, are commissioned to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation. They guard us against all evil and press back the powers of darkness if we are seeking our destruction." So this point is here, I remember here, Sister, in the book, Ellen White says, don't talk about your sadness. You know, like I said, Jesus said, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Here's another statement. "While words express thoughts, it's also true that thoughts follow words. If we give more expression in our faith, rejoice more in the blessings that we know we have, the great mercy and the love of God, we should have more faith. If you want faith, dwell upon the knowledge of Christ. Use it." This statement, another statement from Mr. Healing, it's a positive duty to resist melancholy. Discontented thoughts and feelings as much of duty as it is to pray. Remember that statement there? It's as much a positive duty to risk melancholy and discontented thoughts and feelings as much of duty as it is to pray. Get away from these thoughts. If we are heaven bound, how can we go as a band of mourners, groaning and complaining all the way to our Father's home? Are we going to groan and moan on the way to heaven? We better find our ways down here first. Here's a poem I found some time ago. And I think it gets the point across pretty well. Today upon a bus, I saw a lovely maid with golden hair. I envied her. She seemed so gay, and I wished I were as fair. When suddenly she rose to leave, I saw her hobble down the aisle. She had one foot and used a crutch, but as she passed, she had a smile. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 feet. The world is mine. When I stopped to buy some sweets, the lad who sold him had such charm. I talked with him. He said to me, it's nice to talk to men like you, you see. He said, I'm blind. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 eyes, and the world is mine. Then as I passed along the way, I saw a child with eyes of blue. He stood and watched the others play. He seemed to know not what to do. I stopped for a moment, and then I said, why don't you join the others, dear? He looked ahead without a word, and then I knew he could not hear. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 ears. The world is mine. My feet to take me when I go, my eyes to see the sunset's glow, with ears to hear what I would know, I'm blessed indeed. The world is mine. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. The next text I want you to look up is Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, I'm going to read verse 45. A good man, Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth fruit that which is good, an evil man out of the evil nature of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, for the abundance of the heart is the mouth speaketh. So what's in your heart? Is Jesus in your heart? If Jesus is in your heart, we're going to speak to encouraging things. We're not going to start grumbling and sad. You know, when Jesus could use the expression, be of good cheer when on the way to the cross, why can't we be? And if Jesus said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. If Jesus had overcome the world, we should have be of good cheer. He did it for us. Matthew 12. We're going to start with verse 34. Matthew 12 is starting with verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, you shall give account in the day of judgment. For by their words thou shalt be justified, and by their words thou shalt be condemned. Now, in this thing, how does the devil know what we're thinking? The devil doesn't know we open our mouth. We've got Jesus in the heart. What are we going to talk about? Jesus. If we don't have Jesus in the heart, what are we going to talk about? The point I'm getting across, you know, when Jesus comes in your heart, you're going to do what's right. You're going to do right, what's right because you love Jesus. That's the point I'm trying to get across this morning. I think one of the big problems in any group of people is the word gossip. What is gossip? People love to tell the things they think they know or should know or shouldn't know. You know, if somebody comes along and they tell you, say, have you heard this? Tell them to forget it. That's more gossip. Here's some thoughts on gossip. In fact, how many here know who Dorcas was? Know who Dorcas was? Dorcas was a lady in the New Testament during the times of the apostles after Jesus went to heaven. And she's noted for doing good work. She's known for sowing things for the poor and giving things to the needy and busy. And she died, and Peter came to her and through the Lord's power raised her back to life. Her name was Tabitha Dorcas. And in the book Acts of the Apostles, Ellen White says, Dorcas's hands were busier than her mouth. You know, I think that's something we all should be our model, shouldn't it? Should our hands be busier than our mouth? Let's look at Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs 17. We're going to read verse 27 and 28. Proverbs 17, verse 27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. He that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. In other words, keep your mouth shut. That's what he's saying. So the wise person doesn't have to talk. You know, if you get in a group of people, who does the most talking? All right, let's look at Proverbs chapter 18. And this has to do more with gossip than anything else. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. What does it say there? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. When you talk about people, what's happening? You're hurting them. Listen to Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21, verse 6. The getting of treasure by a lying tongue is vanity, tossed to and fro from them that seek death. Getting the treasures by a lying tongue is vanity tossed to and fro. In Proverbs 21, verse 23 says, Whoever keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Proverbs 11, verse 13. Proverbs 11, verse 13. Proverbs 11, 13. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. A talebearer revealeth secrets. All right, Proverbs 18, verse 8. The mouth or a talebearer are his wounds that go down into the innermost parts of the belly. See, the mouth of a talebearer, these tales people tell hurt people. It may be just a minute you may talk about it, but when you ever think of the harm people have done by talking, how many homes have been split up because people talked? Proverbs 20, verse 19. Proverbs 20, verse 19. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with the lips. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Are you a talebearer? Is another word for gossip. Are you a gossip? And Proverbs 26, verse 20 says, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So wherever the Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, strife ceaseth. In other words, if nobody to gossip around, there's no more strife. I think these are words to think about. In other words, You can't talk anything about words from the Bible unless you look at James chapter 3. James chapter 3. All right, wonder. James chapter 3, verse 1, my brethren, be not as many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For as many things are we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. In other words, if we don't offend with our words, then we're perfect. A perfect man, perfect person. Verse 3, behold, we put bits in a horse's mouth, and they may obey us, and we turn about the whole body. Behold also the ships, when they be so great, are driven with fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, wheresoever the governor listeth. See, all right? Verse 5, even so the tongue is a little menor, and boasteth great things. Behold how greater matter a little fire kindleth. You know, you can start a forest fire with a match. As a matter of fact, there's talking on TV about this lady who's burned a letter from her loved one and got loose and burned several thousand acres of land in Colorado. One little spark. That's the same with the tongue. Read verse 7. For every kind of beast, of birds and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame, is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therefore we bless God, even the Father, and therefore we curse men, which are made of the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be. The term there says, no man can tame the tongue. That's true. If you want to tame your tongue, the only one person can tame your tongue, and that's Jesus. Pray about it. If you have problems with talking and gossip, pray about it. The Lord can stop you. If you know, the Lord's interested in every little thing we do. No matter how small, He's interested. And if we have a tongue that spreads gossip, pray about it. The Lord will help you. But you have to be willing to go along with it. That's the only way you can solve these problems is by praying. Praying is the answer that we have to go use. And that's all these things about talking and tongue and words. It simply matters this. Where's your heart? Who's in your heart? If Jesus is in your heart, what are you going to do? If Satan's in your heart, you're going to do the opposite. That's something we have to remember. James 3:13 says, who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. A good conversation with meekness. There's a lot of talking here about words. I've got a poem here I want to read now. This poem is Drop of Pebble in the Water. Drop of pebble in the water, just a splash and it is gone. But there are half a hundred ripples circling on and on and on, spreading from the center, flowing on out to the sea. There's not a way of telling where the end is going to be. Drop an unkind word or careless, in a moment it is gone, but there are half a hundred ripples circling on and on and on. They are spreading, ever spreading, from the center as they go, and there's no way to stop them once you start them to flow. Drop an unkind word or careless, in a minute you forget, but there are little wavelets flowing and there are ripples circling yet. And perhaps from some sad heart a mighty wave of tears you stirred, and disturbed a life once happy when you dropped an unkind word. Drop a word of cheer and kindness, just a flash and it is gone. There are 100 ripples circling on and on and on, bearing hope and joy and comfort on each splashing, stashing, dashing wave. Do you not believe this volume of one kind word you gave? Drop a word of cheer and kindness, and the minute you forget, there's gladness still a swelling, and there's joy a circling yet. You rolled a wave of comfort whose sweet music can be heard over the miles and miles of water just by dropping one kind word.